Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with your host, the Honorable Sam Rohrer, President of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues impacting our economy, our homes, our churches, our culture, and our daily lives from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Stand in the Gap Today, transforming the culture one heart at a time.
Well, according to the latest April 2018 Pew Research Report, just a month or so ago, Americans, they say, are very spiritual. The vast majority, 90%, say they believe in some kind of a, quote, higher power, end quote. Now get this, yet only 56% say they believe in the God of the Bible. A full 33%, almost a full third, say that they believe in some other deity or spiritual force, but not God of the Bible. Now, research from September of 2017, at the end of last year, came to a similar remarkable finding that a majority of Americans now say they are spiritual, but not religious. Well, other research says that approximately 70% of millennials say faith is important to them, but not important what faith. Now, do these facts seem contradictory to you, or at least a bit confusing? Well, frankly, they are, but they tell a remarkable story. Is it possible, ladies and gentlemen, that just being spiritual or having faith is the goal to be obtained? Or is this kind of thinking deception, and deception of the highest and most dangerous sort? Well, the general theme for today's program is confronting the deception that being spiritual can be done without being godly. And with that introduction, I want to welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Sam Rohrer, and I'm going to be joined by Evangelist Dave Kistler, and our other co-host, Dr. Gary Dole, is away from us yet today, not feeling back up to full steam yet. He's a little sick. So, and to walk through this critical focus today with us will be our special guest, Dr. Alex McFarland. He's a speaker, he's an author, and he's an advocate for Christian apologetics, as well as being the director of a biblical worldview research institute that he teaches down at Christian Worldview Center of North Greenville University, Greenville, South Carolina. And with that, Alex, I'm glad that you're with us. You just got off a plane, and we were concerned that you weren't going to make it here on this live program, but we're thankful that you're with us today.
Well, thank you so much. It's a great honor to be on with you all, and thank you for your patience with me coming through the Washington, D.C. airport.
Well, we all need patience with Washington, D.C., and sometimes a little bit more than patience, don't we, Alex?
But, well, yes, well said, well said.
But I want to get right into this because we've got a lot to do in this program. This is a rather heavy topic from the standpoint of its significance. And as a speaker and a Christian apologist, you've preached to over 1,500 churches. You've debated in worldview forums. You've taught college-level students for many years. And this news, this little bit of research I gave, these top lines, I know it's not new to you. It's not new to us on this program either because we've talked about some of these things. But I do want to dig a little bit into it because I think the impact it could be and is extraordinary. Let me set it up this way. In the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, the Apostle Paul lays out, he says that in this understanding, he says, in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. People will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, a whole list of things, reckless, swollen with conceit. And then it comes down and goes to this part. He said, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Alex, I gave those top headlines. These research findings I've shared align with what you're seeing and what this verse is saying, condition of our nation, and perhaps even more particularly the condition of the church in America.
Yeah, I mean, you've set this up so well, Sam. We are seeing the fruits, really, or the result of a 40-year drift away from biblical literacy and biblical authority. The divide between those that know Christ and are committed followers of Jesus and are in the Word, they know the Son of God, they believe the Word of God, they are a child of God. The divide between those people and the people that are merely religious, They espouse some self-styled spirituality, but it's not really New Testament born-again Christianity. The divide is becoming greater and greater. And what I'm about to say might sound kind of old-fashioned or anachronistic, but it's not. It's really biblical. We need a revival. I mean, we need a move of God's Holy Spirit that empowers and awakens the church and convicts and draws and converts the souls of lost people. Sam, I want to comment on something you said that in the intro you were talking about this, you know, spiritual but not religious. People believe in God, but not the God of the Bible. And you said it was tragic to a monumental degree. It is, because what we're talking about are the souls of people and people spending eternity separated from Christ, believing that they somehow know God, only to leave this world and discover that they were lost. And that should break all of our hearts and motivate us to action.
It does, Alex, and it should. And I tell you, I want to go a little further into this, because when we talk about words such as spiritual, religious, and so forth, we've got to define the terms. And you know that, I know that. Whoever controls the definition controls the debate. I want to define just a couple of these terms as we begin to move into the program. If you could, this concept that a person can be spiritual without being godly, which is really what they're saying, define those terms, spiritual and godly, put those two together, and then we'll come back and we'll begin to dig a little bit more under the next segment.
Great question. Well, spiritual, as most pluralistic 21st century Americans understand it, really is this amorphous, very nebulous, undefined idea that I'm a pretty good person and I'm a reflective person. You know, I'm a little introspective and I just appreciate life, and you got to stop and smell the roses, and you know, I might read the horoscope a few times a month. Spiritual can mean anything, but essentially it means nothing. Now, the Bible tells us, though, how we can know that we will go to heaven when we die, and that's through a born-again relationship with Jesus. The word anothen means born from above. We were all born physically. I mean, if you're a human being, you have a birthday, a day that you were physically born. But according to Jesus Christ, to go to heaven, you must be born again, born a second time. And that comes through repentance and faith. You repent, you admit, you say, God, I admit that I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sins. I'm willing to turn to Jesus. And I believe who he is and what he did. He is the Son of God. He died on the cross. And I'm committing my soul to his forgiveness, restoration, and care. There's a big difference between spiritual but truly godly in the biblical sense.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Stand in the Gap today. Dr. Alex McFarland is our guest. Dave Kistler, our theme, confronting the deception, that is, that you can actually be spiritual without being godly. When we come back now in this next segment, we're going to continue in laying out some of these definitions, which are so critical, and we're going to get into the matter of faith. Does it matter what faith, or just that you have faith, as we unpack this powerful theme here today?
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and his works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
Here's what Dr. Jimmy DeYoung has to say about Stand in the Gap.
But I just feel compelled. This is an unsolicited testimonial that I want to bring to your audience. This opportunity that the people listening to you have to reach this nation with the truth, the biblical truth, constitutional truth, has to be taken care of. The American Pastors Network, there's no parallel in all of America with that. The 425 radio stations, I mean, that's an unknown. And I don't know that anybody had put that kind of a network together to do what these guys are doing. And it's got a true focus as far as a talk program. Look at here. You've got a former politician who would probably still like to be a politician. You have a pastor of a church, and you have an itinerant evangelist that travels all over the nation making impact the way he is. Folks, you got to support Stand in the Gap Radio. I just wanted to pass it along because I'm so impressed with this ministry.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. For more information, visit our website at standinthegapradio.com.
With nearly 75% of all Americans claiming to be Christians, but only 56% saying they believe in the God of the Bible, we're clearly in trouble. And according to research from George Barna and the American Culture and Faith Institute, of the 75% who say they're Christians, less than a third would indicate that they've had a relationship with Jesus Christ or that they would be perhaps born again. Now, faith, we're told in several other surveys, Pew surveys and some others, tell us that it's more important to have faith, at least that's the view of the younger generation in particular, than what kind of faith. And as we've talked, there are those who believe that spirituality is more important than being godly. So either God has changed the terms for redemption and holy living and what it means to be a Christian, or there has been some kind of demonic deception that's overtaken our land, as the Apostle Paul warned Timothy, where he said, beware, because there's going to be a time when people will come who will pride themselves in being religious and having a form of godliness, but will deny the true power of godliness. In its essence, deny the God of heaven. And the implications of this deceptions are really profound. We're going to talk more in this segment about this with our special guest, Dr. Alex McFarland. He's an author, speaker, Christian apologist, and he's director of Christian Worldview and Apologetics at the Christian Worldview Center of North Greenville University in Greenville, South Carolina. Alex, let me go back in here with you now. Before we get further into the cause for the how we got to this level of deception, and I want to do that in the next segment, let's continue just a little bit more on defining the terms, spiritual versus godly, faith versus biblical faith, form of godliness, but denying rather the power of that. Take those kind of thoughts together and add to them definitional frameworks for us to understand this discussion as we go into it.
Well, it's interesting. The Greek word there in the 2 Timothy 3 for godliness is eusebia, which means devotion to God or piety, really, holiness. And in the Bible, it says in Romans chapter 4, when we turn to Christ and are saved, the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us. This is an absolutely unique teaching of Christianity. One of the things that it sets Christianity apart is the idea of Christ's righteousness imparted, imputed to us. So here's the difference. A person could be as spiritual in the eyes of the world as one could possibly imagine. I mean, maybe you give a little money to some charities and you're an all-around nice person and you're introspective and you meditate. You could be spiritual by any man's definition. But if you do not stand before God in the righteousness of Jesus, you will not go to heaven. There's a passage of Scripture, and for those listening that, I'm going to quote the Bible, And you might say, well, gee, you know, what's unique about the Bible? The Bible is a book shown to be inspired by God by compelling lines of evidence. And I've spent 30 years researching, writing, earning postgraduate degrees, and teaching on the evidence for the Bible. And that maybe that's a whole nother subject for another show. But the Bible, God's Word, says in Matthew 7, 21 through 24, many will say to Jesus in the judgment day, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons. We did many wonderful works. In other words, we used religious language. We could do religious activities. And we even, you know, did many benevolent things. And Jesus says, I never knew you. In other words, going to heaven, being in a right relationship with God and being prepared for eternity is predicated on having a relationship with Jesus. And God defines that relationship, not us. Not the tides of culture, not Oprah, The View, or the pop voices of our time. God alone defines how we come to him. And he said that we have to be born again. And that has not changed, even though we're in the internet wired up 21st century.
Alex, what you're doing, even on this program, is not just referring to the scriptures, but you're quoting critical key passages from the scriptures. One of the things that I am watching take place around the country as I travel is a minimization or a demeaning of the Bible. In fact, I have heard some millennial age pastors actually say this, we want to follow the life of Jesus, or we want to follow Jesus Christ, but then they totally demean the scriptures. They demean the Old Testament. They relegate it to a place of being absolutely not the Word of God. And then they'll come into some of the epistles of the New Testament and they demean those. So what's happening, Alex, is we move through this culture and we're talking about faith being the pursuit in and of itself, not the end of our faith, which is a person, Jesus Christ. What's going to continue happening if we see this ongoing increased demeaning of the scriptures, which is the foundation of our very faith itself?
Well, Sam, I'm glad you bring this up. I think everything old is new again. About 80 years ago, the century, Kirk Schweitzer and a number of other theologians went on what they called the quest for the historical Jesus. And a phrase was thrown around called the Christ of faith versus the Jesus of history. And so the Jesus of this was the idea to them that, you know, the Jesus of history may have been one of a myriad of things. Maybe Jesus was just this sage or some teacher, but he didn't really claim to be God. And the Christ of faith, the Jesus that I concoct and hold near and dear in my heart, can be kind of something I'm more comfortable with, as if the Jesus of history and the Christ that I think I believe in could be two different things. Nowadays, though, that manifests itself, and it was dismissed as modernism and liberalism, higher criticism. In other words, we're going to abandon what the Bible clearly says. Now, the Bible clearly says that Jesus Christ is not merely a good man. He is the God-man. Jesus didn't speak just for the Lord. He spoke as the Lord. And I want to challenge everyone listening to make sure that the Jesus you believe in is really the authentic, real biblical Jesus, because again, back to the scripture, John 8, verse 24, Christ, the Lord Jesus, the only one who ever rose from the dead, Jesus said, if you do not believe that I am he, in other words, the Savior, you will die in your sins. All right. So nowadays, we've got people like Andy Stanley who say that we really don't need the Old Testament because, you know, the Old Testament, oh man, it's so offensive and it's harsh and the God of the Old Testament was just a pretty bad guy. So let's just have this loving, kinder, gentler, fuzzy Jesus bunny that we think we find in the New Testament. And I get so many people that they say, you know, God is not about, you know, law and standard. God is about love and tolerance. And the fact is, in the quest to never offend anybody, and in the quest to never say or preach anything that the modern world might find offensive, this hypersensitive, perpetually offended modern world in which we find ourselves, we've truncated the scriptures. And let me just say this, fellas. It's been my privilege for a long time to teach apologetics, to speak and debate and do a lot of radio. I love content. I love great authors and quotes. But I have found out that God blesses the proclamation of his word. We've done a show for 9 years now called Exploring the Word, and we have gone through the Bible in all of its clarity, and it's uncanny. We can be teaching through something like the book of Numbers, and people will call in and want to pray to receive Jesus and be saved. I have found, and I've had a vivid reminder and, frankly, a wake-up call, that if you want to see a move of God and the power of the Lord in the lives of people, proclaim, present, stand on the word, because that is what God has promised to bless.
I tell you, Alex, you are so right on with what we're saying. There is no hope outside the word of God. There is no knowledge of truth without God's word. And you've made it very, very clear, and you've made it clear. Lives are at stake. The failure to understand what we're talking about is an eternal impact potential. It's going to go to heaven or go to hell. And we only have about a minute left here, Alex, but put it in simple terms. Make the application of this well. So we're not talking about eternal destiny, but this has an impact on our nation. Can we expect to maintain civil freedom here in this country and what we have and come to know if these principles are removed from our culture?
Well, Psalm 119:93 says, I will never forget your words, for through them I found life. And so it is in the scripture that we find eternal life and the way to Jesus. James 3 verse 1 says, hey, don't rush into the ministry because you're going to be judged more strictly. Be not many teachers because you're going to be scrutinized all the more thoroughly. And so there are going to be a lot of pastors and a lot of clergy that have a lot to answer for before God, who have watered down and twisted and sanitized the scriptures.
Ladies and gentlemen, what you're hearing, I don't know. If you don't hear this kind of thing in your pulpit, boy, oh boy, you need to go where you can hear the word of God and encourage your pastor to take these and say these bold things. These are what the Bible says. It's critical. So when we come back, we're going to continue on this theme. We're going to talk really about how did we get here? Because what we're defining in this culture, this is not the way it used to be, but it is the way it is now. And we have to recognize that. How did we get here? We'll talk about that in the next segment. And then the end of the program, we're going to talk about the solution.
Why do nations reject God and embrace evil? Hello, I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network and a sobering Stand in the Gap Minute. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 1 that once people know the truth of God and experience His blessings, then through science and technology discover the witness of God as Creator, but then reject the Creator and refuse to give God the glory, God says that He'll remove His mercy from these people and permit them to experience unlimited sin. From general sexual sin to deviant sexual attractions to unrestrained evil minds, those who reject God will not only be allowed to pursue all the sin they want, but to also experience the long list of consequences of their sin they don't want. Personally, I prefer to embrace the truth and pursue obedience to God. Now, how about you? Could I invite you to stand with us in prayer and help lead the way by turning back to God, not following the culture away from Him? Join with us and add your name to our email prayer list at standinthegapradio.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, discussing the pressing issues facing our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Now let's rejoin our host.
Well, if you're just joining us here on Stand in the Gap today, we are glad that you are part of the program. And if you've been listening, you are involved in listening to a tremendous discussion here with our special guest, Dr. Alex McFarland, and Evangelist Dave Kistler and myself as we try to peel back, or we're calling confronting the deception, the fact that so many in this country believe that you can be spiritual without being godly, that you can be religious without being holy, that you can have faith as if that's the goal, but not necessary that it's faith in Jesus Christ alone. This is an extraordinary time in which we're living, and you can pick up this program, listen to it again on standinthegapradio.com. You can do it on our app, our free app, which you can just get by putting in the phrase Stand in the Gap. And if you like what you are hearing, and we know so many of you do, tell a friend. Post it on Facebook, put it on Twitter if you use that, email if that's what you use to your friends, or if you don't, just open up your window and shout to your neighbor next door, turn on the radio and listen. Truth does no good locked up in a closet, but truth is what we have such a tremendous deficit of in this country. It's not that it's not there, it's that people aren't using it. We're trying to put it forward here for you on the program today. And I want to go into that this next segment here as we look at the cause of deception that we have, that people can think these things that I have said, because you know the counterpart of truth is deception. And in some respects, half-truth deception can be more dangerous than bald-faced lies. Yet the Bible makes it clear that God is truth. Jesus Christ as God is truth. God's word, which he elevates above even his own name, is truth. And it's clear from Scripture that anything or anyone that masquerades as truth but denies that Jesus Christ is Lord or pretends that there is some other way to heaven and to eternal life except through Jesus Christ is a deception and a deceiver. And when it comes to the matter of being spiritual without being godly, believing in a higher power but denying that Jesus is God, or having faith is more important than repenting of personal sin and placing one's faith in Jesus Christ alone, these are dangerous deceptions. And literally, life and death, eternal life and death, hinges on them. The question is, how did we get to this point in America? Have we always been here? And obviously, the answer is no. We haven't always been here. This is somewhat new. Alex, if we could, Alex McFarland, you travel all over the country. You are a Christian apologist. You're teaching young people how to think about God's word and apply it. You look at the research as we do. And according to what Paul told Timothy, these are dangerous times when these kinds of thoughts get here and become a part of our culture. Just in a simple term, how did we get here? When did lies become acceptable to believe and truth put on the back burner? Give us your perspective of how we got to where we are, Alex.
Oh, great question. Great question. Well, and by the way, let me say how much I appreciate, Sam, what you all do in the American Pastors Network. And folks, I have pastored two churches and spoken in 2000. And I just want to encourage everybody to pray for what Sam and his staff are doing and to support and be involved. And frankly, I'm just applauding you. I follow your trajectory, Sam, and the American Pastors Network. And I'm thrilled that God has raised you up at this time. And we ought to do an entire show on how we got where we are. But, I mean, several big things happened over the last 200 years out of Germany. There was the rise of German liberalism, and there was a man named Friedrich Schleiermacher who wrote a book that basically undermined the Bible as God's word, and that was very influential in the life of Charles Lyell, an attorney who was an evolutionist, and his writings, Principles of Geology, influenced Darwin. So follow this. As the 19th century began, the academic world in Europe and America began to flirt with the idea that God was not the communicator of Scripture. As the 19th century ended, evolution was becoming firmly ensconced as a philosophy. God is not the creator. By the early 20th century, for the first time, the term postmodernism was used. And by the 40s and 50s, moral relativism was really beginning to shape not only academic classrooms, but legal theories, legal philosophy. And we got away from belief in natural law, that there were some moral absolutes. Now, this really began to come to fruition in the mid-1960s when Joseph Fletcher wrote a book called Situation Ethics, The New Morality. Now, meanwhile, follow this. God is not the communicator of Scripture. God is not the creator of life. Therefore, he will not be the judge. If God is not part of our past, God is not part of our future. God is not the ground of moral truth. Now, meanwhile, you've got people like Harry Emerson Fosdick, Norman Vincent Peale, more recently, Tony Campolo. Campolo wrote a book about 20 years ago called Why Christianity Must Change or Die. And you've got people like John Shelby Spong, who not only said that we have to craft a new gospel for a new era, but we've got to redefine what the Bible says about sexuality. Now, we got here. Those are some of the enemies of the gospel that I've named. But even at its friends, let me say this, 30 years ago when I first became a youth pastor and I would go to the national youth conferences, and the mantra was this over and over, it's a sin to bore a kid. I mean, this was drilled into we young youth pastors in the late 80s. And what they would say is, you know, pizza, paintball, Pepsi, you know, super soakers, fun, laser tag. And, you know, I mean, let's sprinkle in enough Bible to, you know, make sure that we placate the personnel committee. But if you want to grow a big youth group, fellas, make it fun. Well, here we are. Listen to this. Churchleaders.com last fall had a study that Churchleaders.com said only 45% of people who attend church admit that they read their Bible once a week. One in five churchgoers say that they have never read and don't read their Bible. Now listen to this. Of middle school and high school, our youth group kids, 33% do not know that the Nativity is part of the Bible. 59% did not know that Jonah and the whale was in the Bible. 27% think that Superman, Harry Potter, and the Hunger Games came from the Bible. I mean, now, you can't make this stuff up. This is called biblical illiteracy. Now, do we love people? Of course. Do we want young people to like church and have a good time and be drawn? Of course we do. But look, if we do church without Jesus, if we have youth group without scripture, we're just religious and maybe spiritual, but we're not godly, and we're certainly not fulfilling our Lord's great commission. And, you know, let me give a quote here, and this is old school, but listen to this quote. I got to get this in before we run out of time. There was a British evangelist back in the 19th century with the Plymouth Brethren. His name was Henry McIntosh, and he said this. Folks, listen to this quote. It has ever been the special design of Satan to lead God's people away from Scripture. The devil will use anything and everything for this. Tradition, the church, expediency, popular opinion, reputation, influence, anything and everything Satan will use in order to get the heart and conscience away from that one golden sentence, that divine motto, "It is written." End of quote. Now, we have got to have a restoration, a return, a rediscovery of the pure, authoritative Word of God. And not only do the souls of people hang in the balance, I frankly think the future of the country and the preservation of the church depend on it. We must get back into the Word of God.
Alex, let me jump in and ask you this question. By the way, that was outstanding, what you just said. But just a little while ago, I was reading through 1 Kings 18, and in 1 Kings 18, you have the prophets of Baal in the contest on Mount Carmel, and you see them exhibiting faith in Baal, which is a deity that does not even really exist, to the point that they get up on top of an altar, they cut themselves with knives and swords after their manner, the scripture says. In other words, after their custom. This was not the first time they had gone through this ritualistic experience trying to get the attention of this deity called Baal. But Baal does not exist. And so in this passage, you have not just the presence of faith, you have the presence of great faith. But it is faith that is totally misplaced. So I'd love for you to talk a little bit about the fact that it's not the presence of faith or the size of our faith that's important. It's who our faith is in, the person of Jesus Christ. And faith can only come by hearing and hearing the Word of God. That's why that quote you gave by McIntosh is so, so critically important. Talk about that for a second, if you would.
God bless you. Do you know one of the very first debates I ever did at a university? I was at my alma mater, UNC Greensboro, University of North Carolina at Greensboro. I spoke there about 1996, and I'll never forget a professor. I had done a presentation on the resurrection of Christ, and I said, look, you know, here's the evidence. If Jesus rose, I mean, if he really rose from the dead, that validates the man and the message, who he is and what he taught. and he taught you must be born again. So professor gets up during the Q&A and during the rebuttal time. I hadn't thought about this until just now, Sam. And the professor said, and this is a verbatim quote, "I don't think it's important what you believe as long as you're sincere. It's not what you believe, it's your sincerity. But you know what? You can be utterly sincere and be lost. There's an infinite number of ways to go to hell. There's one way to go to heaven, and that's through Jesus."
Alex, that's a great statement. Ladies and gentlemen, there is one way to heaven, that's Jesus Christ. There are many ways to eternal destruction in hell. That's what we need to know. That's what's a part of this, all this deception. There is God's way, and God's way works, but nothing else. We have to keep that in mind. When we come back in this next segment, we're going to talk about the solution to this deception. Is there a way out of it?
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teacher's editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Thank you, Sam, and thank you to the team that you have working with you. I'll tell you one thing about your show. You accomplish more in less time to advance the gospel and to advance knowledge and understanding of seriously any radio show I know of. So congratulations.
Those kind words from Congressman Michelle Bachmann summarize what our guests say about Stand in the Gap today. This is Sam Rohr. On this program, we bring honest analysis of today's news to you and millions of Americans every day. With a newspaper in one hand and the Word of God in the other, we connect the dots between what's happening and what God says about what's happening in light of the Bible and the Constitution. From the mouths of our co-hosts, all preachers, whether former members of the House of Representatives or an evangelist to a millennial pastor or a senior pastor of 40 years, Stand in the Gap today is here for you. Unique, current, trustworthy. Pray for us. Stand with us financially by going to standinthegapradio.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap today.
Raising up a generation of Americans who clearly don't know or don't care about the one true God is, simply put, extraordinarily alarming. But having now a wide majority of Americans who are content to say that they believe in God, but won't connect and don't connect that belief to true saving faith or give any evidence of concern for obedience to the commands of God as revealed in the Bible is truly fatal. This condition places America in the profile of nations and end times thinking, as the Apostle Paul warned 2 Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I referred to earlier, where he describes people and times at a point in time where they are perilous. The people are prideful, arrogant, self-will, being spiritual without being godly. Those are the cultural markers that the Apostle Paul said would happen. The question is, what's the solution when this deceptive condition becomes the norm? And as we look here with our special guest, Dr. Alex McFarland, Alex, you do a lot with millennial work. And I know that a lot of this research shows kind of like what the older groups are thinking. They tend to have a more accurate view of biblical truth. And as the further away you get from that, the younger you get, it seems they walk away from that. I know that you have commented when you wrote for Fox News some time ago, you described several reasons why millennials and the younger generation, those under them in particular, are moving away from God and moving away from Christianity into this realm of deception that we've talked about on this program. I'd like for you to take just a couple of these reasons that you give, and if you could, identify them and then turn them around into solutions, perhaps for our current condition. Let me take the first one that you had said. You referred to the breakdown of the family is a cause for why millennials and our next generation are moving away from God. Identify that and then turn that around into a solution, if you could.
Oh, wow. Well, thanks very much. And let me say this, Sam, very briefly. Our Truth for a New Generation app and tour of events, we bring together people like Josh McDowell and Lee Strobel and, oh, my goodness, so many great speakers, Ravi Zacharias, James Dobson. I mean, we work with all of them. And we're going to be in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, September 13, 14, and 15. I'll be doing a debate at Middle Tennessee State University. By the way, if anyone listening is in the Murfreesboro, Tennessee area, I will be speaking at a luncheon next Wednesday, May 30th, about the big fall TNG Apologetics Worldview event. And we'll be in Baton Rouge, October 26, 27, Greenwell Springs Baptist, and some 22 cities over the next 5 years. And so I would encourage people, if you care about the truth for the next generation, I mean, literally, that's the name of our event, come see us. We have seen apologetics change a lot of lives. Back to your question, Sam, where is the opportunity in all this? The opportunity is that human nature hasn't changed. I mean, despite all of the spin and all the nuancing and all the historical revisionism and all of the just the white noise of our, you know, information-rich culture, people still want all these things that humans are made to seek after: acceptance, significance, security, meaning, purpose, fulfillment. And those are found in two places. Number one, a relationship with the Savior, and number two, in family, marriage and family. Sam, I believe the second greatest gift God ever gave the human race, right behind Jesus, is family. And what I'm finding in young people, and we do camps, we do so many things, young people are hungry for truth. They have an openness and a willingness and, frankly, a passion to embrace truth when it's presented. And so we've got to proclaim truth, and they will receive it. But also, so many young people, maybe 65 to 68% of the youth today, will never live under the same roof with both their biological mom and dad at the same time. And they've never lived in a culture where family was really championed and portrayed in a positive light. And maybe they've got negative family experiences of their own, and yet they know that they want a marriage and a family that is that stable, emotionally solid context to live and thrive as a human being. So we've got the church and the home, and if we want to not only touch lives, fulfill our Lord's commission, but frankly save our nation, I want to challenge everyone listening, become a champion for the family and a champion for the church, the local church. And therein is the answer. This is not rocket science. It's not complicated. Taking God's word for what it says, prima facie, take the word of God as written in its entirety, and then apply it to our lives, build relationships, share truth, and build a godly family. By the way, Psychology Today, Harvard University, studies show that if you want to be not only emotionally happy, physically healthy, but very likely financially prosperous, what's the pathway to those ends? Happiness, health, prosperity? The family. Get married, stay married, have kids. It's the family. And let me say, Google Psychology Today, the archives of 2012, there's a compelling article from UC Riverside that talks about married people who get married, and we're talking heterosexual monogamy here, in other words, true marriage. Not only will you live longer, you'll be healthier, you'll be happier, you're much more statistically, much more likely to be financially successful. The family, to so many things, is the answer.
Alex, let me ask this very, very quickly. We have just about a minute and a half to let you answer this. But one of the things you cited with respect to why the younger generation is not following Christ and not really doing well is lack of authenticity among adults, whether it be parents, grandparents. Can you talk about what grandparents, parents can do to be authentic? And maybe that should be maybe a no-brainer, but just comment on that if you could, please.
Well, study after study shows that young people are looking for adult role models that are real. And you know what? I mean, I'm 54 years old. I look like the mayor of Dull, and yet I speak to over 100,000 teens a year on average. And they are not looking for somebody that's hip and cool or trendy. They're looking for somebody who legitimately cares about them and is willing to listen and build a relationship. And this takes time. And, you know, I know it's kind of chic right now to bash on millennials. And there's a whole lot of, you know, I saw a meme the other day. It said an auto anti-theft device for millennials. And it was a stick shift because, you know, millennials supposedly can't drive a manual transmission. Well, hey, look, let's not bash on millennials. Let's build relationships with them. And let's build the trust and earn the right to be heard. And in that context of trust, honesty, respect, we can share truth. And then you can bring them to the next TNG event, truthfornewgeneration.com, when it comes to your town.
Thank you, Alex. What a pleasure to have you on the program today. And ladies and gentlemen, what a power-packed program of truth. So practical today. I hope that you take this, share it with your friends, and pray for us at American Pastors Network and the Stand in the Gap today, as well as Dr. Alex McFarland, who you've got to know today. Pray for him as he's out speaking across the country, presenting the truth as he has today. So until we join again tomorrow, 23 hours from now, ladies and gentlemen, would you stand in the gap for truth wherever you are? Remember, truth is there in God's word. Know it, hold it, speak it.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today. Stand in the Gap today is another quality ministry of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues affecting the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. We take seriously the command to be salt and light and the mission to declare truth in the public square. Stand in the Gap Radio is supported through the prayers and tax-deductible financial gifts from listeners like you. Would you please consider a donation to help us increase our outreach of biblical truth? To learn more about us and make your donation, please visit StandInTheGapRadio.com. You may also give from our smartphone app. Download the Stand in the Gap app. Search for it in your web store under the heading Stand in the Gap. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in every weekday at the same time for Stand in the Gap today.